You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the start to week three, which was costly in Carolina. We've got highlights and details. Then the game is a week away, but the hype is already on full alert. We'll tell you why Tampa Tom is turning on the heat so early for his visit to Foxborough. Plus, the Monday night matchup served this week with a side of spice. How the Eagles plan to bring the doubt back to Big D, all that and more as we get up with you on a Football Friday, which starts right now. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Sacho is ready to go. Ninkovich is ready to go. Dan Graziano bought that outfit in the Pittsburgh airport last night.
That was a
during
secret.
A three-hour
I told
delay.
You that in confidence.
I think you look terrific.
Looks
outstanding.
Good.
Outstanding. We need a little tailoring on the button.
Yeah, we
but outside that, we're good.
It up a little bit.
But we're not done. Ryan Clark is up and ready to roll this morning as we look ahead to week three, which began behind us. Let's pick it up. Last night, Sam Darnold and the Panthers visiting the Texans on Thursday Night Football. Carolina looking to start 3-0. And Ninkovich, take a look at Darnold here. Flush from the pocket, but showing you what people liked about him. You got the athleticism floating and finding DJ Moore.
Yep, steps up in the pocket, outside, makes a perfect throw down the field.
Moore at 8 catches, 126 yards. It was a good night for Darnold, 304 yards passing. And he would take 2 touchdown runs in himself, as many as he had all of last year. Panthers up 7-0 early, but then the trouble begins. Sacho, this moment from Christian McCaffrey, the one you never want to see.
Yeah, this is a win for Carolina, but a costly win. Christian McCaffrey goes down right here. J.C. Horn goes down as well. You don't want to see guys go down, but you'll take the W anyway.
Yeah, Ninkovich, the second you see that hop, you know what it is.
Oh, not good. Hamstrings, so fickle. You never know how long it's going to take to get back.
It's a bad deal. He would not return on the night. And then you mentioned J.C. Horn, top 10 pick at corner for Carolina. Such an outstanding player. But he goes down here in the third quarter. It's a non-contact injury. It's a broken foot. That is a gut punch for the Panthers. So we said it was a win, but a costly one at that on both sides of the ball. Meanwhile, fourth quarter, Panthers up 17-9, and there's Darnold looking to put it away again. His second rushing touchdown of the night to go with 304 passing yards, and Carolina is 3-0 on the young season, getting set for a date with the Dallas Cowboys. And Darnold has thrown for 888 yards this season, second most during a 3-0 start by any quarterback, making his first three starts with a new team, trailing only Kurt Warner in 99, who, by the way, was the MVP of the league that year. The 888 yards for Darnold, by the way, the most in any three-game span of his career, Greeny said with a smile on his face. Meanwhile, that was the first of the week three showdowns. Look at some of the others here. Again, the Panthers will be playing the Cowboys, who first have the Eagles on Monday night. Sacho, what are you looking for in that game?
Yeah, I'm looking for the emergence of Tony Pollard. That's what I'm looking for. We know who Ezekiel Elliott is, but Tony Pollard has stepped up, ran for over 100 yards last week. TP, keep on doing your thing, my brother.
That's an interesting matchup. So is Chargers Chiefs. Graziano, what are you watching for in that good one in the AFC West?
I want to see if the Chiefs can stop somebody, especially in the run game. They've allowed 404 rushing yards in their first two games. And sure, it's Cleveland and Baltimore, maybe the two best running teams in the league. But the Chiefs need to slow somebody down on defense, and this week would be a good week to start.
Sunday Night Football, the Packers at the 49ers. Ryan Clark, what are you watching for in that game?
I'm looking for the defense of the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers offense. I mean, all offseason, we searched for Aaron Rodgers. Can we look for something else? This offense of the San Francisco 49ers historically has given the Green Bay Packers fits, especially in that building. So now, what can you do this year? No Za'Darius Smith, you aren't stopping the run, and you need to find a corner. Kyle Shanahan will pinpoint all of these things and attack you. It's not about Aaron Rodgers this week. It's about stopping someone.
I like that. And then finally, Ninkovich, how about Bucks Rams in LA?
This game is going to come down to who can score in the red zone. If you're scoring 6 instead of kicking field goals, that is going to be the outcome of this game. Can the Rams stop Tom from throwing it into the end zone with Gronk? We've seen him score 4 times this season. It's the efficiency in the red zone. Whoever can win that battle will win this game.
Well, this is such an interesting game. It is actually the only one on the schedule that our analytics believe the Bucs are not favored to win. But one wonders, are they looking ahead already, at least is that man looking ahead, to next week when Brady returns to Foxborough? Certainly his longtime trainer, Alex Guerrero, is already talking about that game. And he said, I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Those comments got a lot of attention yesterday. Tom Brady had this reaction.
Everyone has, you know, protective feelings and emotions as friends and family members, and that's just part of being in sports. And you have a lot of people who, you know, because they're not out there, they want to protect, and it's a very caring, loving thing that a lot of people do. But, you know, from my standpoint, I had a great time. But really my focus has been on trying to be the best I could be for this team and trying to go out and be a winning quarterback, be a championship level quarterback for this team and this organization, because they certainly deserve it. And, you know, I made a commitment to them and I want to live up to it.
Okay, so endlessly interesting to say the least. And we begin with Ninkovich because you were there, obviously, New England, and played for them. So people talked all about this. I mean, it's not a secret that when Brady was there, he was someone who was still being treated like he was any other player on that team. Can you give us an illustration of what that looked like?
Well, I think the difference in coaching a player and how a player trains are two different things. Mm-hmm. So Bill, the way he would coach, you knew going into that building, it didn't matter if you were a first-year player, if you were in your 20th year, didn't matter. He's going to coach everybody hard. He's going to make sure that everybody is at their best, because a coach is supposed to make every player play at the highest that they can possibly be. Mm-hmm. So if you made a mistake, myself included, if I missed a tackle, had a mental error, Bill was going to tell me about it. He might tell me about it in front of the whole team. Same with Tom. So Tom, in a certain situation, everyone understood coming into the building, didn't matter who you were. Now, training, I can understand that, because when you're a little bit older, me being a young player versus me being an older player,
right,
you can't do the same things. Putting a bar on my back right now would hurt, right? So when I was young, that's what you did. So I think that there's a difference here in how you were coaching a player and how a player should train. And there's two philosophies there.
Got it.
I personally think that you can take bits and pieces of everyone's different ideas of how to prepare. TB12 was great for soft tissue, massaging, all that stuff helped me stay on the field, but also I had to lift weights. Because if I didn't lift weights, guess where I'd be?
Right.
Thrown over the Gatorade table.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's different positions and different ways you have to go about training to get yourself prepared for
the season. But the point is that Bill was all over Brady in meetings and film and all kinds of things, like he might have been.
All over me. Player. All over me, too.
So and you were a great player. But Tom Brady is Tom freaking Brady, I think, if I may,
Hall
for
of
everybody.
Fame. Hall
and
of
he
fame.
Would still do that. Bill is calling him out in meetings like anybody else.
I think that that's just, you understand that that's the way that Bill's going to be.
Right.
So when he does that with a player that's a Hall of Fame football player, I think it sets the tone and everyone understands nobody's going to be treated differently here. And coaching, like I said, they're trying to make sure that everyone is playing at their best, and Bill is always going to do that.
RC, what do you think?
Duh. Like, this is a non-story. You even said it yourself, Greeny. Like, this isn't a secret. This isn't news. There were so many times that we would come on this show or come on other shows and talk about how Bill Belichick kind of coached like Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich had Tim Duncan, the greatest power forward of all time, but he was no better than the 12th man on the bench. And Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Tom Brady was no better than the 53rd man on the roster. That's what made this team great. Bill's ability to treat everybody the same. Wasn't that the Patriot way? Oh, and didn't we always talk about Tom Brady being the leader of the Patriot way? Wouldn't we always say if you're a rookie, you know you have to get in line? Because look at the way Bill Belichick treats Tom Brady. Look at the way that Tom Brady works. Tom Brady takes less money. Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. And now his friend who has protective feelings? Why you got protective feelings, Alex? The reason anybody knows you, Alex, is because you got to get with Tom Brady and he had some extra stuff that you ain't have nothing to do with that now has him being the greatest player of all time. It's not about what Bill Belichick did to Tom Brady. It's about the fact that evolution comes out of necessity. If you start to lose, then you have to evolve. If you start to stink, then you have to evolve. Guess what? For 2 decades, Bill Belichick and the Patriots ain't never stink. Tom Brady gets hurt, they go 11-5. So why am I evolving if it's working? Why am I evolving if Tom Brady is accepting it? And so for this to come out now, to me, that's just petty. To me, that's just sour grapes. To me, that's just somebody that wants to get their name called, wants to be talked about on TV, and I'm actually sad that we're doing it because there is no new news.
That's fascinating to me. The reason that it is so interesting, Dan, at least one of the reasons, is that we're a week away from this unprecedented return. This will be the most hyped up game ever. And maybe the fact that Brady is coming in wearing one extra Super Bowl ring contributes to this as well.
It's a victory lap, right? I mean, we're 9 days away from this game. It's the most anticipated game of the NFL season. My producer I'm working with this weekend said the hotel near the stadium is charging $2,600 for that night for a room. Like, it is, if people are fired up. And Tom Brady and his people around there are fired up. But if they hadn't won, if the Bucs had gone 7-9 last year, right, then you probably don't feel, maybe there's a little bit of this, but the crowing that the people around Brady feel like doing right now is because they're emboldened by the fact that he went and he won, and now, you know, the winners get to write history and all that.
Absolutely. And then, Sacho, we come to you, because Brady, as you saw, I mean, expertly in that soundbite, just immediately turned it to the present, turned it to where he is now and how it's working. And he's playing for Bruce Arians, a very different kind of head coach who you played for. How do you see that difference?
Yeah, BA is so different. That's the thing. Like, yes, Tom Brady went and he won, and we're all lauding that and applauding that. But the way he won is what was different. Bruce Arians, the way he coaches, he's very free. Yes, he will call out players in their faces in front of team meetings. But at the same time, he'll go out with the players, hang out, kick it, give players off days. Like, there were so many times I'd be in Tampa Bay and our five-star players, as BA says, they'd be in a shirt and t-shorts. And I'm like, bro, I'm at full pads practicing. But that's how BA is with his five-star players. One thing he always says in team meetings, he said, I need my five-star players to play like five-star players. And you know what he does? He treats them like five-star players.
You know, it's interesting because there was a moment in time last season when Bruce Arians was calling out Brady in public. Remember that? He had unveiled critical comments about Brady in public.
The difference, right? Like, all the reporting that's been done on Brady and the end of the Patriots, right? How he didn't feel like he was treated right. He was never named Patriot of the Week.
Right.
All that kind of stuff. Like, if Bruce Arians is doing that publicly, but then privately he's treating him the way that he wants to be treated, then I think Brady can handle that.
That's the difference. I remember being back in Arizona playing with the Cardinals. I was there from 2011 to 2014, and B.A. came in 2013. And I saw the way that B.A. called out our superstar player, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, literally in front of the entire team, he would cut Fitz out. He would get on Fitz on his alignments. I'm like, this is Larry Fitzgerald. But at the same time, you'd see him hugging Fitz on the sideline the next week or the next day. And so, yes, on the outside, Bruce Arians will critique any player. That's how he coaches. But at the same time, he will listen to the player. He'll get the game plan involved with that player. And that's the difference between Bruce Arians and Bill Belichick.
Nico, were you ever named Patriot of the Week?
No.
Did that hurt? Is that still eating you?
No. I mean, maybe I have some nightmares at night thinking I should have got, you know, the Patriot of the Week. You know, three sacks in a game against Buffalo. Who's thinking about
it? Who was the Patriot of the Week?
I guess that was probably his.
They must have had some good weeks.
Different styles, no doubt. But, I mean, it is important to remember here, Arians is still 5 rings behind Belichick, so it's not as if we could say one's right and one's wrong.
Yeah, but Brady is one ahead. Right. That's the difference that I think matters this week. All right, we're getting late. I got a million things to do here. Coming up, if you thought there wasn't any juice recently in the Cowboy-Eagle rivalry, think again. We got a T-shirt that everyone is talking about. And we'll talk about whether or not the Cowboys are truly contenders. Plus, it's one thing to beat the Lions, but what does Aaron have to do now to win in San Francisco? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance.
I'm all in on the Cowboys. I'm all in.
You got the accent? How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? I mean, they're for real. Dak is a legit MVP candidate. I can't even see. Dak is a legit MVP candidate.
I was on the fence, but you got me sold.
Let's go.
How about them Cowboys?
How about it? Put that cowboy hat. If I have one, I grab one right now. How about them Cowboys? I'm in. I'm all in.
All right, now in fairness, jeez, I got kind of goaded into that earlier this week. But that said, I'm willing to defend it. I'll back it up. A lot of people have made fun of me. Ryan Clark, no one makes fun of me better than you do. What'd you think of that?
Just looks sad. I'm just, Greeny, I'm confused how you sounded like a cowboy from Ireland. If you were on the show Yellowstone, you would be the only Dutton that John Dutton wouldn't actually let live on the ranch. You'd probably have to go live on the Native American reservation because, first off, what we know is you ain't wrangling no horses, you ain't picking up no horse poop, and you're not doing no work outside. So it's actually impossible for you to be a cowboy or even be on the bandwagon, because to be on the bandwagon, you actually have to get dirty. So Greeny, stay with your jets, stay with your high rises, stay with your losses. It's not for you to be a cowboy.
I don't know. I want to be a cowboy like Jerry Jones is a cowboy. I just want someone shining my glasses for me. I just want someone sitting behind me, and I just hand them the glasses, and they wipe them down. I'll leave the cleaning of the horse poop to other people. In the meantime, let's talk about the Cowboys. They got a Monday night game against the Eagles. Oh, did you see the shirt that Nick Sirianni wore to his press conference yesterday, clearly embracing the rivalry, with a shirt that said, "Beat Dallas"? Sirianni and Zeke Elliott talked about the rivalry yesterday.
Yeah, I'll be wearing this all week. My kids got it. My wife has one, and we'll be wearing them.
It means a lot. I mean, definitely probably our biggest rival, especially since I've been here. Probably the team I don't like the most.
Would you like to see Coach McCarthy wear a T-shirt that says, "Beat the Eagles" or something more?
Nah, we stay in our lane.
Okay, fair enough. So Sacho, taking all of the fun out of it, if you will. I guess it is kind of fun. This is the team that has just generally has gotten everything wrong for the last quarter of a century. Does it look to you like they've finally gotten it right?
Yeah, well, it does look like they've gotten it right, especially defensively. But real quick, going back to that rivalry, because I thought about this as I was listening and watching Sirianni. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Dallas. I was not a Cowboys fan. And it was a problem in my household, not only in my household, but also amongst my peers. I remember having a Philadelphia Eagles, and it was like a floor mat in my room. And people weren't happy about it. And so there is a true rivalry when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now to the point of, has Dallas got it right? The answer is yes. And the reason is defense. And we talked about it for the last little bit of offseason. Greeny, you always say the Cowboys are winning when it doesn't matter.
Right.
But now it matters. Mm-hmm. Their defense under Dan Quinn actually is better. Their defense with Micah Parsons, they're playing really well. And so, yes, we obviously understand the Cowboys offense is going to be great, and I think Kellen Moore is one of the best young up-and-coming coordinators in this league. But defensively, Dan Quinn has got this team playing at a new level. I did not think they were going to go beat the LA Chargers, who have another good defense and a phenomenal quarterback. But they did it, and they keep on doing it week in and week out. I get it's only been 2 weeks, But defense wins championships, and Dallas has finally addressed their biggest issue over the last 3 years, their defense.
That's right, and two names have really emerged, and one of them you just mentioned is Dan Quinn, and the other, RC, is Micah Parsons, and I'd love you to share what you told us in the meeting this morning that you had heard about him, because I think this was just so illuminating about how good this kid is.
Yeah, just talking to people in the building, they believe that if coached correctly, now obviously you can't ask him to do certain things, that Micah Parsons has the foundation, has the athletic ability to play all 11 spots on defense, and that's corner to defensive tackle. And when you have a guy who is that versatile, the problem is you want them to do too many things. Let's think about what he did against the Los Angeles Chargers, because you heard Sam mention, or Sacho mention, what he was able to do, what he was able to bring to the game. They made Micah Parsons put his hand in the dirt, or I guess it's the turf now in 2021, and he made plays. He put pressure on the quarterback constantly throughout the day. This defense still needs to grow. This defense still needs to get better. They probably still need one player on the back end. But when you watch who they are this year as compared to last year, making timely plays and situational football, turning the football over, putting pressure on the quarterback the way you thought you'd put pressure on the quarterback when you gave DeMarcus Lawrence all of that money, it's something different now. There's something different in the building. And I do believe the one thing we have to mention about the offense is that Dak is an alpha male. When you listen to Dak Prescott talk, and he talks about his confidence in his team, his confidence in his defense, you believe it. Now, we know that Mike McCarthy is a liar. We heard that. When he blamed Kellen Moore, and he blamed the camera, and he blamed whatever fat guy stood in front of Kellen Moore that couldn't see the clock. But what we do know, too, is that Dak Prescott isn't. And when you're led by a dude like that, and when you have a coach like Dan Quinn, you have a chance.
Yes, Prescott has been and is, I think, truly emerging as a true superstar. But you, Nink, said there's one word that jumps to your mind when you watch that defense play.
Confidence. Confidence. And when you can build confidence as a defense, then you start to believe that we can do this as a unit. And look, it's early in the season. They're going to have to build this confidence throughout the year so they look different week 14 than we see them in week 2. Mm-hmm. So when you have players that are playing together as a unit and you're building that confidence and that camaraderie with each other, you understand, I know where you're going to be, you know where I'm going to be, we know the coverage is right, we know the front's right, and we can move people around. You have Parsons playing defensive end, getting after the quarterback. That's, you don't find guys that can play off the ball, get on the ball, put your hand on the ground, get after the quarterback. That as skill set that you're, that's hard to find, especially for a rookie. So that confidence is going to continue to grow.
As a rookie, is it a lot to ask from this player to do this many things?
For 17 games, it may be. We'll find that out. Look, there are special players, and he may well be one. But even if he is, it's still, when you talk to rookie players at the end of their rookie seasons and you say, what's the biggest adjustment? More often than not, I hear the length of the season. Now, college seasons are getting a little longer, but still not NFL length. And this year's NFL season, longer than ever. So you wonder if it holds
up. Hey, guys,
early returns on Parsons, obviously fantastic.
Yeah, RC.
We also have to remember, Micah Parsons didn't play football last year.
Right.
Micah Parsons was an opt-out at Penn State throughout the COVID year. So this is just his first ball in over a year. So it will be interesting to see how they use him, but also see how they protect him as the season goes along.
Yes, these are the first two games he has played in two seasons. So far, so good. For Micah Parsons, you'll see him on Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers has spent a lot of this week responding to the people who questioned his commitment. How will he respond on the field Sunday in a place that he has traditionally struggled? We'll get into that. Plus, the bare necessities for Justin Fields. What does he have to do this weekend to keep this job in Chicago? We've got the answer next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It is time for a Week 3 edition of More or Less, looking at some of the good games. RC, more or less, Mahomes, 2.5 touchdown passes against the Chargers.
You know what? He's going to have less. This is the team that you can run the football on. You saw that last week with the Dallas Cowboys using Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. I think that they're going to play the pass extremely well. You're going to use Derwin James on Travis Kelce, rolling under the other safety Adderley to Tyreek Hill. And so we'll get to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire get an opportunity to make up for that late fumble in the game. And they'll be used within the red zone, within the goal line. And so Patrick Mahomes, less this week, but he'll still play extremely well.
I'd like to note, Ninkovich, how about you? Brady, he has 9 touchdowns the first 2 weeks, more or less than 3.5 against the Rams.
Oh, I got to do it to my guy. I'm going to go less on this one. You have to think that the Rams coming into this matchup have to understand, how do we limit Tom Brady? That's inside, getting inside in the pocket. They have a guy that could do that in Aaron Donald. So getting after Tom Brady, limiting the time in the pocket, he's going to throw for less than 3.5.
That would be interesting. And then our DraftKings poll question of the day involves Aaron Rodgers, who's getting set to throw in San Francisco. And the question is, will he throw 3 or more touchdown passes? DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, this Sunday only. New players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app. Sign up with the code GETUP. So that's the big question, Acho. Will Rodgers have more or less than 3 touchdown passes?
I'm going more. We understand that he hasn't had success against San Francisco in the past, but Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is even more motivated. So even if he's not getting the ball down the field, you could see him check the ball down to Aaron Jones like he did last week, and he's going to get more than 3 touchdown passes.
Well, we'll see, because it's Rodgers making his 12th start against San Francisco in his career, the team that he will always be upset that passed on him. It was his childhood team. He'll be an underdog for the 6th time. Each of the previous 5 resulted in his team losing. In fact, over his last 4 starts against the 49ers, his total QBR is just 54 compared to 71 in the first 7 starts. What I'm trying to tell you is he has struggled against that San Francisco defense in recent years. Ryan Clark, this is the Sunday night game, and coming off of what, you know, in some ways we called it a get-right, a bounce-back game against the Lions, but those are the Lions. This is a step up in class. What do you expect from Aaron in this game Sunday night?
You know what? I actually don't expect Aaron Rodgers to play bad. We won't see the Aaron Rodgers from week 1. He'll make some plays. He'll obviously have a connection with Devontae Adams, especially with the San Francisco 49ers not necessarily being what they've normally been in the secondary, with Jason Verrett getting injured against the Detroit Lions. But it ain't even about Aaron Rodgers. We should probably be tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers, and he's probably going to say something smug like, oh, now they don't want to talk about me because I played well and I said they was full of BS. But nobody cares about that, because this is going to be about, can the Green Bay Packers defense stop the San Francisco 49ers? Not only did the last couple of times Aaron Rodgers got an opportunity to play San Francisco, he not play well, but the defense hasn't played well. The San Francisco 49ers have ran the ball over and through the Green Bay Packers, and now you have no Za'Darius Smith. You're still trying to figure out, has Kevin King recovered from giving up that touchdown late in the second quarter in the NFC Championship? And so when you look at what the New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston was able to do week 1, now you go to what the Detroit Lions were able to do in the first half until Jared Goff just started dropping the ball, you have to be concerned about this defense. And think about the last 2 AFC championships. In San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers didn't play well. In Green Bay, I thought he played well enough to have a win, but the defense also didn't make plays. And so if they want to be where Aaron Rodgers has to get this year, which is a Super Bowl, this defense has to play well, and it needs to start this week.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a yardstick game for both these teams, candidly, on Sunday night. So interesting to watch. Well, I always feel like you have a good finger on the pulse of the mood in Green Bay. How do they feel coming out of that game against the Lions?
They feel good. The week 1, they feel, was an aberration, and then I feel like the week 2 proved that. So Aaron Rodgers is locked in on this last dance idea, right? And the idea, obviously, he uses whatever he can in terms of anybody who he perceives as doubting him as motivation. The 49ers, to me, haven't looked awesome. I mean, they're 2-0, but they haven't. I mean, the offense, I don't think, is all the way together. They're already banged up at running back. So I actually have the Packers winning this game.
Okay, interesting. We'll talk a little more and make some predictions on all this stuff a little bit later. But, Nick, are you sold on the Green Bay Packers?
Not yet. And just like RC was talking about, it's not just Aaron Rodgers. You can't put everything on him. I know it's a quarterback-driven league, and that's what we do. We put it all on the quarterback. But The defense has to play better. They're going to have to be better on the road, especially. So when you look at this team as a whole, they got a long way to go. I know Aaron Rodgers is winking at people now after the game, but that was the Lions, and we all know where they're at. We know the Lions and what they are. They're not going to be some road grading team that's getting into the playoffs this year. So I said last week, if they beat the Lions, okay, they really didn't show us what we needed to see. They need to beat a good team. They need to beat a better team than the Lions, and it's going to be a good test for them coming up.
It's one of many really interesting games on the schedule this week. Again, I'll continue to say the most interesting to me will be Justin Fields making his starting debut for the Chicago Bears, finally getting first-team reps at practice this week, finally getting a chance to start a game. I know it's only week three, yet it feels like it's been a very long wait. Andy Dalton dealing with the knee injury. Matt Nagy said it's his job when he feels better, one way or the other. So let's dive into that. The time to talk about why isn't he the starter? Why did it take this long? Will Dalton get the job back? That's all over. We got a football game to prepare for this week. So, Sacho, you know that team. You know that coaching staff. You played for them. What should we expect that offense to look like Sunday against Cleveland with Justin Fields as the quarterback?
Yeah, I think you're going to see more of the same of what we saw the first 2 weeks in Chicago. You didn't see Chicago. I know. And you're going to sleep right now, which I would do the same. Like, if good coordinators will say, I will put my players in the best position to succeed. But Matt Nagy historically has not always done that. Going back to last year, we saw Mitch Trubisky. His strengths are movement outside of the pocket. His strengths are his legs, not being in the pocket. We didn't see Matt Nagy capitalize on that until the second half of the season. And so based on history and based on experience, I'm sitting here saying, okay, you've got a guy like Justin Fields. So you know he's talented. You know he's athletic. You know he can get the ball down the field. But then you go to week one, and I'm like, okay, against the Rams, we were just throwing it 5 yards, dink and dunk. So I'm hoping it's going to be more than that, but I am not expecting more than that.
Why did you almost fall out of that chair?
Because a coach has to put a game plan together that puts his players in the best possible position to succeed. And to continue to run the same offense with two different, completely types of, like two different styles.
Right.
We have one guy that's in the pocket, Statue of Liberty, right out there. You know he's going to be there. Then you have another young player. We can see through the highlights that he is athletic. He can get out of the pocket. He can get out of situations with his feet. You have to adapt. In this league, if you do not adapt, you get beat. So having a young quarterback that can move, get out of the pocket, RPO, puts a different strain on the defense. The defense has to completely prepare a completely different game plan
right.
for those quarterbacks. So to continue to do the same things makes no sense.
But not all coordinators and not all coaches think the way that you do.
Well,
many coordinators and many coaches, they have their set game plan. This is what I want to do. This is my style. These are the plays that I run. And you as a quarterback or you as a receiver, you as a player need to fit into my scheme. That's what some coordinators do. But the best ones say,
you know which coordinators do that? The bad ones. And the ones who are going to get fired soon. Let me get Ryan Clark in on that. That to me, if they run this same exact offense for Justin Fields that they have been running for Andy Dalton, then we will have identified beyond the shadow of a doubt, Ryan, that the problem here has been the coach all along.
Absolutely. But I think on the other side of that, Greeny, Matt Nagy doesn't need to go all the way into his go-yard bag for this week. You don't need to come out in 1 week and Justin Fields first start and say, I have to showcase all of the talent that this guy has. What you got to do is, just like Ning said, put him in positive situations. Give him opportunities outside the pocket to have run pass reads. Give him opportunities to take the matchup. If I have the outside with Allen Robinson one-on-one, I can take that shot down the field. Let's not make this a thing where we want to come out and make Justin Fields that he deserved to be the 11th pick, or make Justin Fields show that we were supposed to move up for him. No, protect him the same exact way you were protecting Andy Dalton, but don't hold him back by fear. Don't paralyze him by overanalyzing what he can do or actually what he cannot do. And so if I'm Matt Nagy, I go out to win this football game, but I go out to win this football game by using David Montgomery, by using the legs of Justin Fields, by being smart enough to not say, Justin, you have to go win this football game for us. And now, if Matt Nagy can't do that, it's not a shadow of a doubt we have figured out that he's the problem. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt we have figured out he can't be the coach going forward. And if that's the decision that you have to make, you make it. And he starts proving that this week, if he hasn't already proved that, with Mitchell Trubisky, Andy Dalton, and now moving to Justin Fields.
I co-sign everything you just said, Sacho.
But here's the benefit. Here's the benefit, because I will co-sign a little bit of what Ryan said, not you, Greeny, not yet.
Okay.
So, RC, you make a phenomenal point. Lean on David Montgomery, number one. Number two, lean on your tight ends, Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham. But number three, lean on your defense. Think about it. It's a 17-game season. And so, to your point, RC, you don't want to just throw everything out and say, all right, Justin Fields, now's your time to shine. No, if your defense can go win you the game like they did last week with Roquan Smith getting that pick six in a low-scoring game, now all of a sudden you can ease Justin Fields, like Nagy's been trying to do this whole time, into the starting spot. So I don't think that we will see an explosion of offense from the Chicago Bears, but I don't think we need to right now.
Was he trying to ease him? Was he trying to ease Justin Fields to the starting spot?
I think he was. Otherwise he would have been the starter from week one.
I don't think he was trying to ease Justin Fields into anything. When you get, this is the prime opportunity. Now, I do think he's playing it correctly. He's playing it in a way that if Justin Fields doesn't play well, he can at least say, you know what, I always said that Andy Dalton would be the starter returning. What Matt Nagy has done, he's totally taken the onus of making an actual head coaching decision off of himself. But I don't necessarily think he was ready to make that move to Justin Fields, because making the move to Justin Fields says, if this doesn't work, if I'm not right, if I don't call these plays correctly, if I don't scheme correctly, if I don't win, I am gone. I think he felt like he had a little more time with Andy Dalton if Justin Fields plays later and has some success.
Look, and all of that is fine, but whatever happens, a coach's job is to put the players in the best positions to win. Figure out what Justin Fields does well and do that when he's your quarterback. As we continue in just a moment, the team they play, the Cleveland Browns, they've got big questions, and they're mostly about Odell Beckham Jr. Will he return on Sunday? Can the marriage with Baker Mayfield work? We have an update on the injury coming up next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back with a little breaking news for you here on Get Up. We have the very latest on Odell Beckham Jr., who we have been waiting to see when he would make his return from the ACL injury he suffered 11 months ago. Dan Graziano has the latest.
Yeah, told this morning that barring something unforeseen between now and game time, the Browns do expect that Odell Beckham will make his season debut this Sunday against the Bears. They need him, obviously. Jarvis Landry going down with an injury last week, so it's time for Odell Beckham to show what he's got.
And it's an incredibly fortunate time with Jarvis Landry being injured, as you just said. And so let me come to you, Nick. The Cleveland Browns are very good. Good, perhaps too great.
Yep.
Does Odell Beckham put them over the top? Is he the piece that turns them from a very good team into a Super Bowl team?
Well, he definitely helps, of course. I mean, if you're a defense and he's on the field, you have to account for him. And you have to understand, where are we putting our coverage at? The attention, when you have an extra player out there that is that talented, you have to all be on the same page and you have to cover Odell Beckham. Are you going to double him? Losing Landry is not great because he's going to come in and probably take some of those reps. But the one thing I would say defensively, the more talent that the offense has on the field affects how you prepare for the game, affects your coverage. So with him on the field, it definitely helps him.
Yeah, not only do you have to prepare for him in the game, you got to prep for him in practice, right? So Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator for the Bears, I was with him for my entire 4 years in Chicago. Like, he's going to prep different if Odell Beckham is playing in that game. Yeah. Now, the difference is Jarvis Landry is down, so maybe Odell goes and fills in that spot. But anytime you have a weapon, like, what you could talk about, okay, does it fit and maybe it's not a good match, but a weapon like Odell Beckham Jr., who at one point was the highest paid receiver in the NFL, you have to change the way that you practice. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking extra periods. You're using them to say, okay, we're going to prep for this play with Odell in, because their offense might be different now that he's back.
But the reality is that this is a different offense than it was when he first went out 11 right. months ago, Dan. It has been extremely effective, and there has been so much said, the numbers are what they are, about the struggles that he and Baker have had forming a chemistry. What can we expect as he makes his return?
When I was at their training camp talking to their coaches, what does Odell Beckham bring to this offense that you didn't have last year? There's a clear answer, and it was a downfield
threat. They felt like Odell Beckham and then the rookie, the speedy rookie, Anthony Schwartz, could give them something that they didn't have last year, even when they were functioning at a high level as an offense, which was somebody who could take the top off a defense downfield. So they have an idea for how they want to use him and what they want to get out of him. It'll be a matter of can he deliver it.
So if I'm thinking fantasy thoughts, if I'm thinking DraftKings thoughts, if I'm thinking is Odell and his return, especially with no Jarvis Landry, going to put huge numbers up? Is he going to put huge numbers up this weekend against the Bears?
Probably not this weekend. It's going to take a little bit here. With an ACL, coming back from, I've had an ACL.
Right.
Your first game back is a little, you're trying to feel it out. So I would say maybe wait a couple weeks and see how he goes.
No big numbers? He's not putting up big numbers?
Yeah, not this week. I'll double down. Not this week. Big numbers, not this week. Obviously, Chicago's defense is up and coming. But as the season progresses, once again, we talked about this in the last segment.
Confidence,
but also great offensive coordinators are going to find a way to put their ball in the playmaker's hands. And so I think Stefanski is going to find a way to put the ball in Odell Beckham Jr.'s hands. Maybe not this week because he's just getting back. You're playing a solid defense. But fantasy owners, get ready.
That's a really interesting game, the Bears and the Browns. And speaking of that, on this Football Friday, there's a very interesting college football game in Chicago this weekend as well. Two sneaky important games on this weekend's schedule. We start with a showdown in the SEC. Arkansas, Texas A&M, they'll play in Arlington with 3-0 records, both of them. A&M has won 11 straight. Only Alabama has a longer active streak at 17 straight. And then at Soldier Field in Chicago, Notre Dame versus Wisconsin, squaring off for the first time since 1964 at Soldier Field. Fighting Irish looking to start 4-0 in consecutive seasons for the second time over the last 30 years. But our analytics say the Irish have just a 45% chance of winning this game. They like Wisconsin. Independent of all other results, our All-State playoff predictor says they would have the fifth best chance to make the playoff if they win these next five games that you see on your screen. And so we've got Sacho here to break these games down. And in Chicago is Desmond Howard, who is ready to go. He is undergoing emotional photosynthesis as he prepares to do College Game Day from Chicago and Soldier Field. I want to dive into that game. Give me the keys for Notre Dame in this matchup against Wisconsin in what should be a fascinating setting. Desmond.
Well, I tell you what, the key for me is to watch Notre Dame's offense and see if they're able to run the ball effectively. They have two outstanding running backs, Chris Tyree and Kyren Williams, who's just like lightning in the bottle. He can go the distance at any time. But as a team, they're only rushing for like 105 yards per contest and less than 3 yards per carry. So that's not good for a Notre Dame offense that wants to have some sort of balance. And then when you look at Wisconsin, Graham Mertz, the quarterback, he hasn't even thrown for a touchdown yet this season, which is quite a contrast from a year ago this time where he started off the season only one incompletion and 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions. So those are some of the keys into the tomorrow afternoon's game.
Yeah, it's a fascinating matchup because the quarterback of Notre Dame is the former quarterback of Wisconsin. Who do you like here, Sacho? Who's winning this big matchup at Soldier Field?
Yeah, I like Notre Dame because I think they're going to be able to stop the run. We all understand that Wisconsin is going to run the ball. Their offensive line averages 6'6", 312 pounds. They're going to run the ball. Last week against Eastern Michigan, they ran it 15 straight plays. The first 15 plays were all runs. And so, but I think defensively that Marcus Freeman and this Notre Dame defense is going to, they're quick, they're fast, they average 277. They do a lot of stunts and inside pressures. They're going to be able to put Graham Mertz and this Wisconsin offense in negative passing plays, and now all of a sudden you can light it up and turn it on and go rush the quarterback.
You see on your screen, Wisconsin's a 6.5-point favorite, so that would be an upset. But that's not the big upset that Desmond has his eyes on. Desmond Howard, who's on upset alert for you this week?
Wow, who's on upset alert? I actually look at Clemson. I think Clemson versus North Carolina State, that's going to be a really, really interesting game because you look at Clemson's offense and guys, okay, they start off the season against Georgia. And we're looking at Georgia's front seven against Clemson's offensive line, and they just dominated them. Okay, well, that's Georgia. The Bulldogs, they got one of the best defenses in the country. But then you look at Clemson against Georgia Tech, and they kind of look the same way like they looked against Georgia. You're like, okay, wait. This is a bigger issue than we anticipated coming into the season. We knew, okay, Trevor Lawrence has moved on. They have DJ Uiagalelei, and he's going to be a great quarterback. But he hasn't played up to his standards so far, up to the standards that's been set by the quarterbacks before him. So I think when you look at North Carolina State, this defense has already registered 6 takeaways. They bring back 10 starters from a year ago, and Dan Doran has done a very, very good job with the Wolfpack. So keep your eyes on Clemson versus NC State.
All right, that's an interesting one. How about you, Sacho? Give me a team on upset alert.
Yeah, I would go UCLA. They're the team on upset alert. They're playing Stanford, and Stanford had a bad loss early, but they came back and they beat USC behind Tanner McKee. Obviously, Fresno State was able to dominate in a lot of ways UCLA. UCLA was high and rising. They were running the ball behind Britton Brown and Zach Charbonnet. Then all of a sudden, against Fresno State, they couldn't run the rock. And so that concerns me. On the other side, Stanford's offense reminds me that they are going back to that, they call it intellectual brutality. That's how they're trying to play. They're big, they're physical, but now they got a quarterback, maybe the first one since, you could say Andrew Luck, statistically wise, who can take their team to the next level.
We got intellectual brutality, we got emotional photosynthesis, we got a lot of interesting things going on. And by the way, I'm told it's 58 degrees in Chicago and Desmond is wearing a scarf. So I don't know if that's questionable or not. Maybe we'll talk about it another time.
Hey.
Saturday Night Football, presented by Capital One, in a Big 12 statement game, West Virginia heads into Norman to face Heisman hopeful Spencer Rattler in number 4 Oklahoma at 7:30 Eastern on ABC and then the ESPN app, one app, one tap. All right, coming up, Patriot Games. Is Tom Brady's trainer right about Bill Belichick? Was he unable to evolve, and how much will that matter when Brady makes his return a week from Sunday? It's Get Up on ESPN.